The book of Hebrews, chapter 12, today, picking it up in verse 12, and we will be concluding this book of Hebrews with today's message. Let's pray. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12. Now, last time we were looking at the chastening of the Lord, which is trouble. Trouble for God's people, things that you don't like, hard times, difficulties. So in light of that, God says in verse 12, wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. In other words, don't quit. Don't give up on Jesus. Many people do not reach their potential because they lack the mental toughness to press on when it's no longer fun. And that's often why people quit on Jesus also. It's just the newness wears off. It's not fun anymore. When there's a cost involved, when there's a call for sacrifice or maybe some persecution, they quit on Jesus. Never see him again. They want Jesus as long as everything is easy, but they're not willing to pay a price to follow Christ. I can tell you right now, Christianity is not for quitters. 13. And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Make straight paths for your feet. Make it easy on yourself, will you? It's easier to run on a level path than a path that goes uphill, you know. And when a Christian allows things in their life that hinders a close walk with Jesus, they create an uphill path to holiness. It just makes it harder on themselves. Steals their joy. Verse 14, follow peace with all men. Stop there. We should try to get along with others. But if getting along means you have to disobey God, then that price is too high to pay. Which is why he continues, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. You better be holy, and you better not compromise holiness in order to get along with others. And true Christians care about holiness. True Christians sometimes still sin, but true Christians repent and confess. True Christians are saved by God's mercy and grace through faith in Jesus Christ, but they strive for holiness. And the Bible says they shall see the Lord. They shall be saved. Verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Stay on track with Jesus. Be diligent to stay on track with Jesus and don't allow bitterness to enter into your life because that'll get you off track in a hurry. That's trouble. Bitterness is unforgiveness times a thousand. Bitterness is holding a grudge. You hold a grudge against someone, that is a serious sin. Very serious, because God says if we don't forgive others, then he will not forgive us. And you can't just brush that aside and pretend that he didn't say that. He said it. 16, lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. He sold out. Some people sell out for bitterness' sake. Esau was the oldest son of Isaac and therefore would have had special rights and privileges as the firstborn after his father Isaac died. But one day, Esau sold out. One day, Esau was hungry, and he sold his birthright to his younger brother Jacob for a bowl of pottage. He sold his future for one lousy meal. That guy had no self-control. He had no discipline. He wanted food now. So he sacrificed a wonderful future to get it. And there you go. And people do the same sort of thing today. They choose sin and they choose hell over repentance and salvation. Stupid stupid, stupid. Hell is not worth the short-term pleasures of any sin. People who make that deal are fools. 17, for you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Yeah, later on, Esau wanted the blessings of the firstborn, but it was too late. He had sold it. And people today reject Christ because they don't want to give up their sin. But then after they're dead and they're burning in hell, and they're crying and weeping and wailing, it's too late. Verse 18. For you are not come to the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor to blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice that they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. When God, and if you've ever read the book of Exodus, you know what God is referring to. When God came down from, or on Mount Sinai, I should say, there was thunder, lightning, a trumpet blast, and the voice of God was heard giving the holy law. And the people panicked. And they asked for it to stop. They wanted God just to speak one-on-one to Moses personally, and then Moses could pass that word on to them. Now, they didn't want to hear the voice of God anymore. 20, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. The Israelites could not take God's voice. They couldn't handle it. God's voice and his stern warnings made them tremble. And they weren't the only ones, 21. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Moses was shaken. He couldn't stop shaking. He was a man of God. He was right with the Lord, and yet he was terrified in God's presence. You better be right with God through Jesus Christ before you die. Because if Moses was terrified, just think what you're going to be if you reject his mercy through Jesus Christ. Verse 22, but you are come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Whenever we Christians pray, worship, or read the Word of God, we enter into the throne room of God in heaven. We enter into the presence of God, and we can do it with peace instead of with trembling and fear, because we know that Christ has reconciled us to the Father by paying for our sins on the cross. 23. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. No Christian lives a perfect life. And yet no one gets into heaven unless they're absolutely morally and spiritually perfect. The good news is that through Jesus Christ, God cleanses us so that we can enter into his presence after we die. 24, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. The reason that God's people were terrified at Mount Sinai was because they received God's law, which is very holy, and revealed his perfect standards and his demands for them. But that law did not make anyone right with God. So they were just kind of hanging. And the reason Christians in heaven are not terrified, even though they're in the presence of God, is because Jesus has paid the price for their sins and made them right with God. 25. See that you refuse not him that speaks. For if they escape not who refused him that spoke on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven. God punished all those who did not obey the commandments that he gave to Moses on Mount Sinai, and it was bad, very bad. But it is much worse, and it is much more serious to reject the gracious offer of forgiveness through God's eternal Son. It is a deadly mistake to give Jesus the cold shoulder. 26, whose voice then shook the earth? But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. When God spoke from Mount Sinai, the entire mountain shook. So no wonder the people were terrified. But that's really nothing. Nothing. God says he's going to speak again. And when he does, all of creation, including the earth, including the planets, including the stars, will shake. Everything's going to shake. And that's why the Bible says at that time, people's hearts will be failing them for fear. 27. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. One day God is going to destroy everything that he has made, the heavens and the earth, except for people. We will never be destroyed. You're going to be somewhere forever. Those who reject God's mercy through Jesus Christ are going to be sent to hell, and that's where they're going to remain. Those who receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior will enjoy the new heavens and the new earth, and they will remain there too. It's not going to change, not going away. Verse 28, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Jesus did all the work that was needed for our salvation on the cross. He paid for our sins. Our job is to receive him as Lord and Savior. Our job is to be thankful and worship him and serve him out of appreciation. Our job is to live by faith and love God. That's what it boils down to. 29, for our God is a consuming fire. God is a consuming fire, which means he is the judge. God is the judge who determines where we will spend eternity. And anyone who would presume to approach him by their own supposed righteousness, apart from asking Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior, are going to find themselves consumed by the fire of his wrath. Chapter 13, let brotherly love continue. True Christians should be kind to each other. If we love and we serve Jesus Christ, then we should be gracious to other Christians. We should be helpful and kind to others who love and serve Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about everyone who just says that they're Christians. I'm talking about people who love and serve Christ. 2, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. You know that angels are all around us. And every now and then, they appear in human form. Now you better be kind to strangers, because they might be an angel. 3, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Pray for people who are suffering because of their faith in Christ. Help Christians who take a stand for Jesus, who take a stand for the Word of God and suffer in some way because of it. Verse 4, marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Marriage is honorable, but make sure that it's marriage. And God is the one who defines marriage. He invented it. He established it. And so he defines it. And he defined marriage as between one woman and one man, and that is it. That is the arrangement. That is the one that God commands us to honor. Any other arrangement is a perversion of the institution of marriage. And any sexual activity in any other arrangement is sin. Which is why he says, whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Put God first, and be content with what he gives you. We need money to function in this world, I get that. But we need God much more than we need material things, including money. 6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do to me. Fear is a spiritual problem. Some people think it's a psychological problem. It's not. It never is. Never. Fear is a result of sin. The very first words out of the mouth of Adam, after he and Eve sinned, the very first words to God were, I was afraid. Fear is a spiritual problem, not a psychological problem. The Bible says perfect love casts out fear. So, when we are convinced through the Word of God that God loves us with an infinite love, and therefore we trust Him, we're not going to be afraid. We will not fear because we know that we are safe in Christ no matter what may come our way. 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken to you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. A man of God who believes the Bible and therefore proclaims it is an example to all Christians. And he should be cared for by those who benefit from his commitment to Christ and to the Word of God. 8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. The Son of God is the same today as he was billions of years before God created the world. And he will always be the same. You can put your faith in Jesus. You can put your faith in what Jesus says and what he is like because he is rock solid, immovable. 9. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. The unsaved world thinks that an on-fire Christian who believes the Bible is strange. Very strange. But the world, with its twisted morals, priorities and spiritual beliefs, has it completely backwards. Almighty God says, Almighty God defines anyone or anything that is contrary to his word as being strange. And guess who the judge is? Guess whose opinion matters? The unsaved world is preoccupied with money and material possessions, which the Bible says right here does not profit them. It is a stupid waste of time to be preoccupied with material things, possessions, and money because they end in spiritual bankruptcy and a hot spot in hell. Christians and all people need to be preoccupied with Jesus more than things. 10. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. The they refer to Levitical priests who continued to work in the temple and offer animal sacrifices and such even after Jesus died. They were wasting their time. Now, the Old Testament priest in the Old Testament days before Jesus died, who offered sacrifices to the Lord, were allowed to eat some of the meat that was offered. And it was, in essence, a form of fellowship with God. You offered some of it to God, you ate some of it yourself, and you were fellowshipping with God in the temple. But after Jesus died on the cross, those Old Testament sacrifices became irrelevant, which meant that those who offered them and ate them were just eating food and no longer were engaging in fellowship with the Lord through them. There's only one way to have fellowship with God today, and that's through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fellowship with God begins by repentance and receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. 11. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. In the Old Testament, the blood of animal sacrifices was brought into the temple before God, and the carcass was disposed of outside the camp. Verse 12, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. In other words, like the Old Testament sacrifices, which pointed to him, Jesus was crucified outside the limits of Jerusalem, outside the city limits of Jerusalem. That's where he paid for our sins in order to sanctify us to God. 13, let us go forth, to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach, bearing his disgrace. In other words, never live for self. If you're a Christian, live for Jesus, speak the truth, and take your licks from a sinful world that still rejects him. 14. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Never live to please this world or to fit in with this world which rejects our Savior. Why? Why would any Christian do that? The entire world with its godless mindset is going to be destroyed with the coming of Christ. So it's not only wrong to cozy up to it, but it's also foolish. 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. We can't sacrifice to pay for our sins. Jesus has already done that for us on the cross. Our job as Christians is to praise him for who he is and for what he has done. God says, offer him a sacrifice of praise. Praise God all the time, which means praise him even when you don't feel like praising. Praise him even when it takes extra effort. That is a sacrifice of praise, and it is something that pleases God very much. 16. But to do good and to share, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Live a good life, live for Jesus, and share what you have with others. Don't be selfish. That's the kind of thing that pleases God. And again, you can't earn your salvation by sharing with others, but you can please the one who saved you, the Lord Jesus Christ, by doing that. 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. God wants people, Christians, to obey their spiritual leaders, if what they declare is scriptural. God says, don't be a grief to godly men who share the word of God. Now, spiritual crackpots who think that they have a license to command God's people to believe and do all sorts of unbiblical things should be rejected. They should be shunned. 18. Pray for us, for we trust that we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. The writer isn't aware of anything in his life that is wrong, but he's humble enough to know that he still needs prayer. We all need prayer. Prayer works. If you don't think you need prayer, you're way too proud. 19. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. I want you to pray for me, he says, because I want to come to you. Now, something was keeping the writer from visiting these Christians. And whatever that something was, he knew it could be removed through prayer. That's why it's so important to pray. Some things, even some good things, will not be done by God automatically, unless we pray for them. God works through prayer. 20. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. God is called the God of peace, and so he is. And the closer we are to him, the more peace we will have, even when circumstances would suggest that we should not have it. God's peace makes a person think. Conventional wisdom would say I should be worried, but for some reason I'm not. It's because you're close to God, that's why. 20. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The Bible says that it is God who works in us, both to will and to do his good pleasure. You stay close to Jesus, you pray for things that line up with the Bible, and God will use you, and it'll be him that works through you by his power. 22. And I beseech you, brethren, permit the word of exhortation, endure the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter to you in few words. In other words, believe everything that God has given us in Scripture. Believe it, accept it, learn it, and do what it says, or it's not going to do you any good. 23. Know that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he comes shortly, I will see you. Timothy, you know, just a great companion of Paul many, many, many times, must have been in prison for preaching the gospel, because it says he was set at liberty. And he's out serving the Lord. And I think the writer of this Hebrews, even though he didn't sign it, was the Apostle Paul. Not just because of the fact that he mentions Timothy, who was his companion many times, and his son in the Lord, he said, but just from other things that are written in this book. I think it was Paul for sure. 24, salute all them that have the rule over you and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. And so we finish the book of Hebrews.